So we've been working through over the course of the last weeks our core values as a church. And last week we talked about the importance of prayer. This week we're moving on to the idea of spiritual gifts and the need for us to both know what our spiritual gifts are and how to use them. As we get started, I'm going to encourage you to spend some time in the week ahead and try to discover maybe what your spiritual gifts are. There's a multitude of places in Scripture that talk about the spiritual gifts and the kind of gifts that each one of us can have. And you'll see those on the slide right next to me. I would encourage you to spend some time reading through those passages and looking at them and discerning perhaps what yours might be, but sometimes it's hard to just read through and discern just through Scripture alone. So there are other tools that I would like to make you aware of this morning to help you in that process. And one of them is just simply a website. And this website, when you go to the website, it's going to ask you about 108 different questions. And as you put in those questions and answer those questions, at the end of the process, you're going to find out what they have what they would indicate perhaps your spiritual gift might be. And it'll list kind of the top three, and they'll talk about what that means. They'll talk about how you can use those spiritual gifts. So I would encourage you to connect with that website and do that this week. It'll take you about 20 or 25 minutes. This morning, we are not going to be focusing on what your spiritual gift might be. Today, we're going to focus on some truths that surround the idea of spiritual gifts. I want to start by sharing with you a story. Back in 2003, I was a manager and a maintenance person at a campground in Ohio. And I had started the job in September, and part of the campground ministry was having different RV groups come in the fall months. So as a result of having the RVers coming in the fall, the water had to be left on so that they could hook up to water and all that kind of stuff. The first year that I was doing it, I talked to a couple different people about when's the right time to turn water on and off, and eventually I was told, you got to wait until November when these RVs leave. So I did that. And once the RVs left, I shut off the water, and I went to begin the process of winterizing about 100 different cabins on the campground. When I walked into the first campground cabin, I noticed right next to the toilet, a piece of the toilet had fallen off. And it's because the water in the trap had frozen. I went to the next cabin, and the exact same thing, the next one. There were about 120 toilets total that had all broken because I had not turned the water off, not dumped the RV antifreeze into those toilets before they actually had frozen on me. I knew that in spring, it was going to be my job to now replace 120 toilets. And spring came, and I ordered all the parts, and I began my first day of pulling a toilet, pulling the toilet bowl away from the tank, replacing seals and putting it back together and resetting the toilet. And throughout the course of the day, I did multiple toilets, but I began to feel this overwhelming, like, this is going to take forever. I'm never going to get this project done feeling. And then one day, as I was working on these toilets, some people showed up, some members of my board showed up, and they just started helping. And at that moment, as they stepped up and began to help, this feeling of being overwhelmed very quickly left. And I felt supported and a part of a team that could actually accomplish what needed to be accomplished. So now I want to take us back into biblical times. And Israel faced a task like this. Now, not in regards to toilets, but something that looked huge, that looked impossible. And God had delivered them from Egypt. And then in Exodus verses or chapter 25 to chapter 30, and it literally takes five whole chapters, God lays out in great detail through Moses the kind of tabernacle that he wants them to build. God gives dimensions. He gives the kinds of wood that he wants to use, what kinds of metals they're supposed to use, how to make the walls, the ceiling, and the furniture. He gives so much detail that he gives detail right down to how to make the clothes for the priest. No detail was left out. It had to be overwhelming. But when God was building that first church, in Exodus 31, the first 11 verses, we see that he let Moses in on a little bit of a secret. He said to Moses, he had already sent his Holy Spirit ahead to gift the right people for the right jobs so that the task could be completed quickly and exactly the way that God had instructed them to do it. Today, I think perhaps more than ever, it is clear that the church is not a building. The church is a body of believers, a body of people. And what a great picture this gives us for the church today. God wants to build his church, his body, and he tells us in Scripture what that church should look like. He says it should be a loving church. It should be an accepting church. It should be a church that preaches from the Word, a church that can change the world that it's a part of. In great detail, Jesus lays out his vision of his body, the church, on earth. And then he says, also, I've given skills to all the body members, to all the pieces of the body, to make it possible to be the church that I have asked you to be. See, you and I, we're the body. Spiritual gifts are the tools and the skills needed to be what God wants us to be. Just like that first tabernacle was built by those that the Spirit gifted, his church today is built in the same way. This morning, there are a few things that I want to make sure that we understand about the way we were created and where ministry fits into the overall purpose of the life that every believer has been given. There are 7 different truths that I want us to walk through this morning. These truths give a pretty complete picture of what the Bible teaches about service and its place in our lives. I don't know if I can say it any clearer than this. These truths that we're talking about today, these truths apply to the life of every believer. The truths that we're about to talk about, they apply to the life of every believer. The first truth that we're talking about is we are created for ministry. We're created for ministry. Number one, I am sure many of you have had the opportunity to meet Marty. Marty is the robot that roams around at the local grocery store giant. Marty's job in life is simply to look for spills, to look for hazards, and other things in the aisles of giants. And when Marty finds something, he then makes an announcement to the whole store that somebody needs to come and clean up the mess. I have been told that Marty is also supposed to let them know when items are mispriced, when they're out of stock of certain items. But here's the deal. If I were to take Marty, this robot that is pretty spectacular when you think about it, and put him in our church parking lot on Sunday morning, hoping that he would be the answer to us being able to valet park carts as people arrive, I would be crazy. I could hope for this outcome all that I want, but it would never happen because Marty wasn't made for that purpose. It's the same for believers. We can try to fill our lives with this and that and wander from where we should be, but we can't get away from the core truth that we were created for ministry. God created us to serve him and his church. That's the way we're wired. That is how we can fulfill our true purpose in life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says it like this. It says, "For we are God's workmanship," as in we are created by God. God put together this beautiful masterpiece. "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are created to serve. Spiritual gifts are how God uniquely shapes us to do what He created us for. The second truth that I want us to look at is we are called into ministry. It's easy to look at a pastor or a missionary and say that they are called into ministry. And that's definitely true. We should be called into ministry. I do sense a call into ministry in the sense of how I do ministry now. But we are all called into ministry. I am called to be a pastor, to minister in a setting like this. Some are called to be missionaries and to minister in foreign lands. Others are called to be nurses, to be carpenters, to be engineers, to be teachers. But that doesn't diminish their call to ministry. We must remember there is no such thing as a part-time ministry for the life of a believer. If what we were created to do, which Scripture tells us it is to be displayed in every aspect of our lives. We are called to be God's representatives to all people. He calls us all to serve, using our spiritual gift which He gave to us. He calls us all to do ministry. The third truth that we're going to look at this morning is we are gifted for ministry. This goes against, I think, what is one of Satan's greatest lies that he likes to tell us, that we have nothing to offer to the kingdom of God. But if we are created to minister, and we are called to minister, it follows logically that the one who creates and the one who calls will also gift us to accomplish what he asks us to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." God has given gifts to each one of us from His great variety of spiritual gifts. We need to manage those gifts well so that God's generosity can flow through us. God has given them to each of us, not to just some of us. These gifts empower us and they free us to minister in ways that we could never do on our own. The fourth truth this morning is we are authorized for ministry. I'm sure that some of you at some point in your life have or will experience. Maybe it's a workplace where you go to work and you're supposed to accomplish certain things, but it becomes very difficult to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. It might even be in school, right? It becomes very difficult to accomplish what you are supposed to accomplish because there are so many hoops that you have to jump through, skip through, or hop through in order to achieve what needs done. And that becomes really frustrating. It becomes really discouraging as you look for the right person to sign off on what you need signed off on. That's not how God intended ministry to be for us. See, Jesus has authorized us to do ministry. On most things, we don't need to constantly ask His permission or wait for His confirmation to move ahead. If we have an opportunity to share His love, that's not something that we have to pray about and seek direction on. He's made his will clear, and he has freed us to do his work. In Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18, it's called the Great Commission. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." In these verses, Jesus is simply saying, God has given me authority, and all power is mine. With that authority, I am releasing you to serve. Go and teach. Go and baptize. Go and love. And all these things, do them in my name with my authority. The paperwork has already been signed. There are no more hoops that we need to jump through. We are authorized to move ahead in ministry and take God's word to those who need to hear it. This next truth is, I think, probably the most compelling reason for all of us as to why we should do ministry, why we should use our spiritual gifts. Number five is, we are commanded to minister. In Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 26 and going through verse 28, it says, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, following Jesus means serving in ministry. He commands it. He says, just as I have come to serve, I expect no less from you. He uses words through the New Testament, like serve, go, teach, care for. And he never ever, not one single time, does he put those words in the context of if you feel like it. They are commands. They are expectations. As believers, we must not view them as optional. God gives us our marching orders in Matthew chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 28. He tells us to minister, to accomplish the task of building his kingdom. And each of us, not just pastors, not just mature Christians, there's no probationary period of time or trial period of time in Christianity. When we accept his love and sacrifice, it comes with an expectation that we will serve. And here's why. Number six, we are needed for ministry. In ministry, when one part takes off and decides that they aren't needed anymore, the rest of the body must step up and it thrusts people into roles that they are not comfortable in, and not necessarily even gifted in. And they serve in those roles, and unfortunately, what happens is the ministry suffers as a result. Using Paul's analogy that he uses of the body, a hand can only do the work of a foot for so long before it gives up, and the work of the foot is just undone. Listen, if you hear nothing else today, all of us are a vital part to God's work here at Fairland. You are a vital part of God's work that is to be done through the ministry of Fairland. And I'm not saying this with selfish motives. I'm not trying to trick you or guilt you into serving. I'm simply teaching what the Bible teaches. And that is, no matter what our experiences are in life, no matter what our excuses are, no matter what our circumstances are, if you are not serving God in some capacity in the body, the church that he built, that he ordained as the way that his word would spread. If you are not serving, then you are not following what God has commanded you and are not fulfilling a big part of his purpose in your life. Let that sink in. I know some of us, some of you may not want or like to hear that. And the good news is you can just disconnect from the live feed. But we hope you stick with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now all of you together," and he's speaking of the believers, "so now all of you Christians, all of you believers, are Christ's body, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it." If you were to go outside to your driveway, to your garage, to the road in front of your house, and pop the hood on one of the cars that's sitting in that location, and you were to just reach in there and remove one of the belts, or remove an ignition coil, or a battery wire, or some other just minor little part of the car, though it is seemingly insignificant, it's a small piece of a much greater thing, the truth is that that car will not run properly. That car may not even start at all. The same is true of your role in the body of Christ. You are a vital and a necessary part of a much larger whole. And your role needs to be filled. You are needed for ministry. And when you accept that and plug in, do you know what Scripture tells us? Scripture tells us, number 7, that we are rewarded for ministry. We're rewarded for ministry. Heaven awaits all who have made a decision to follow Christ, but Scripture tells us that the rewards upon our arrival there will be different according to how we serve and use what God has entrusted us with. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." If you go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Don't misunderstand me on this one. Ministry and service in no way earns your salvation. That is simply a free gift from God. But ministry and service is our response to God's gift. And it will be rewarded for eternity in heaven. I've been so blessed this last week to see how many people are responding to what's going on in our society right now. If you turn on the news or you look at the Facebook feeds or whatever social media you use, all you seem to see is all the scary stuff and the bad stuff that's going on. But there are so many people that are stepping up to the plate, so many believers that are doing what they are supposed to be doing as a believer of Christ. As I said earlier, we have had people calling the church and emailing the church office to let us know that if there are needs for childcare and grocery and shopping and running errands and whatever else you might be able to dream up, that they are willing to serve in that way. I've heard from some of you that you've been checking in on your church family members and your neighbors just to offer a conversation, a little bit of hope and encouragement to them. I've heard from some of you that you've literally taken out the directory and you've spent the last days praying by name for people within our church congregation, just working your way through the directory because you know that people are in need of prayer today. This is the church being the church. This is the church using the gift that God has given them. This is the church shining as it cares for others by using its spiritual gifts. As a part of the body, what I want to encourage us at, or what I want to encourage us to do, is to simply identify the gifts that God has given to you and use them. It is not an optional kind of invitation that we find in Scripture. We are told we are told that this is a command, that this is not an optional kind of thing. So I would encourage you to spend just a little time this week, figure out maybe where it is that God has gifted you, and begin to use that, and use it within your community, use it within your family, and use those gifts for the purpose of fulfilling your life and being used for the kingdom's sake. I hope that we can continue in the days ahead to see and hear more stories like the ones I just shared of people in our church that are stepping up to the plate. And I think we will see that, because it seems like whenever in society something difficult hits us, we can very quickly gather together and very quickly learn how to encourage and walk with each other. So let's continue to do that. Let's set the example as the Church of Christ in doing that in the days ahead. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we thank you for your presence here today. Heavenly Father, we would pray that as we leave this place, as we go into the week ahead of us, and there are so many uncertainties in the week ahead, give us peace. Do not give us spirits of fear. Allow us to be able to feel calm, knowing that you are walking with us. Lord God, remind us through the course of this week, as maybe some of us have a little bit of extra time or our schedules look different than they normally do, allow us to see and to hear where and how we can use the gifts that you have blessed us with. Heavenly Father, keep that forefront in our minds in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.